Thank you, Steve. Hey, guys, it's us. It's Bill Luck. It's Wendy Snyder. Welcome to the show.
I have to restart. I'm sorry.
You want to restart?
What is today?
Today would be Friday, Wendy.
All right, Kasara.
Oh, my
Kasara,
goodness.
I know. This is
She's
terrible.
She's filling in.
For Jasmine.
She's just filling in.
Every Friday, we play Friday, I'm in Love by The Cure, and it won't feel like a Friday to
you
us.
You need to hear the song for you to realize it truly is Friday, right?
Yeah, okay, so I'm so 100% sorry. I probably should have said something before we went on the air.
Yeah.
But it won't feel like a Friday.
All right, restart. You can restart.
So let me know when you have that. And
there it is.
There we go.
It's Friday, everybody! Woo! I'm Captain Friday coming at you.
You're Captain Friday?
Today I am.
Do you have any idea how badly you hurt the feelings of my friend Steve Bertrand? You didn't just hurt his feelings, you broke his feelings. Do you know that?
So I sent, Wendy a text last night of what I thought was really the funniest and most perfect text ever. And I really imagined her just doubling over in laughter getting it. And
all Steve wants to do is make you happy. That's his whole goal in life.
I kept checking my phone for response, nothing. And I even changed the tone so there'd be a special Wendy ringtone.
Yeah.
So I would know the response came in.
And, is it based on an Elton John song?
It is. It's Brandy, actually, not Elton John.
Oh, all right.
And then it came in today. I said, Wendy, I just thought I really disappointed. I thought I was really going to make you laugh last night.
Yes.
She said, oh, yeah, I didn't look at your text.
Oh.
I didn't even look at it.
All right. I had a very busy night last night.
Oh, yeah, we're all busy.
Yes.
And I was still thinking of you.
Because Steve said to me, does Wendy usually have her phone with her? And I covered. And I go, oh, hardly ever.
No kidding, Wendy. This morning I went to Bill. I said, I sent her the perfect text last night.
He was crushed.
I had to go to the dentist yesterday. You know what time my appointment was?
2:30.
Yep. And I do have a tooth hurting, so I had to go to the dentist, and I have to get a root canal, and I have an infection, and I'm on antibiotics, and I was running around picking up my antibiotics.
Set business as usual.
7:01.
Yeah, 7:01.
Yeah.
I was just getting home, then I had to get dinner for the boys because I didn't have time to cook, and then I had to watch
the
Stranger
Swanson
Things.
Hungry Man dinners? Did you put them
down? No, we did Boston Market last night.
Oh, you did?
Bill, as I recall, the text I sent did not send from the restaurant. So when I got home, that's why it was 7:01. It was a little later. I resent it to make
sure. A second time to make sure that Wendy enjoyed. Because all you want to do is make her happy.
Just thought it would make her laugh.
All right, well, now could you explain?
It's not really.
It's not the same now.
But you need to explain to the listeners.
Well, we were out, Noah and Sharon and I, and he was doing one of those stupid word puzzles
that we talked about yesterday.
Right.
It was on the air and it was on the stream. We talked about it both times. And it's just what's it called? Starters?
Starters that they used. He had a teacher and they would have a starter and they would like give one sentence and then through Q&A, yes or no questions, you would figure out exactly what happened.
And then as you were out to dinner, your son was pointing to something.
Doing something else that was some black magic puzzle. And they just drive me crazy. I don't like them.
Steve mentioned yesterday that it was always the worst thing in the world when his son would have one because he wanted to know the answer right then and there. And these are very, very tricky. These are logic problems that could take you days or weeks or months to
figure
out.
And they just don't have the patience for
it. Yeah.
It was a very funny video, and I appreciate you sending it to me.
Oh, thanks. That's just what I was expecting.
Typically, I respond to you immediately.
I know.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It was an extenuating situation last night.
Oh, last night you had dinner.
No, I was on antibiotics. My tooth hurts.
Mm-hmm.
At 2:30 is when it started.
Do you have one of those things that you put around your face like Jacob Marley had in Christmas Carol?
A handkerchief that you tie with
tie
a block
it
of
on
ice?
Top. It was very popular in the 1870s.
No.
Was that to hold your jaw in place? What was the purpose?
I think it was to hold your jaw in place. Yeah.
I guess that makes sense.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll do that during the show. Thank you for listening.
That won't be distracting at all. I have two of these word problems, by the way.
God, I love you more
every
day.
I have two of them. One of them, all right, so again, if you're just joining us and you didn't hear this yesterday, these are problems where the answer's kind of there, but you really have to use a different brand of logic to figure these out, all right? One of them I mentioned that we brought up on the air 4 years ago. And I'll get to that one second. But here's the one that I remember as a kid. I found this. Steve and I found this morning. See if you can guess this, Wendy.
Right, I gotta get
this
my
is very very
paper.
Tough. Are you gonna take notes?
I have to
take notes for
I have
people
no
listening.
Attention span.
For people listening, you're more than allowed to take notes. All right. Tell me when you're ready.
Yep.
All right. Here goes.
Yep.
It's a short story. It's a paragraph long. Here's how it goes. Five men entered a sauna. Because it was a steam sauna, no one could see each other. Suddenly, a scream was heard, and the manager came running. After the steam was switched off, they found that one of the men was dead, with a puddle of water beside him. The police were called, and they had three suspects. The first suspect had a thermos. The second subject had a magazine. The third had a CD Walkman. The lead detective thought for a while, and then he caught the criminal. Who was it, and how did he do it?
I don't know.
You give up?
Five men walk into a sauna.
Which is the start of every every great joke starts out exactly.
And the sixth one ducked.
Right, right. That's always the punchline, but it makes us laugh every time.
I know.
That's how he died. He died laughing.
Well, originally when you said one of the guys was found in a puddle, I thought maybe Frosty the Snowman was in the sauna with them.
Oh, Wendy, that's a great guess.
But then I stopped paying attention.
Did you stop paying attention?
Well, I wrote five men in a sauna, a scream,
rub-a-dub-dub,
thermos, magazine, CD, Walkman.
Yes. All important clues. If you were a detective in this...
I'd need more than 30 seconds.
You don't have to solve a crime in 30 seconds. A good crime takes more than 30 seconds to solve.
One of the five men was murdered.
Obviously, yes.
And his body wasn't there. It was just a puddle.
His body was there, but next to his body was a puddle of water.
All right. Well, the guy with the thermos killed him because he scalded him with hot coffee.
There was no coffee there.
You
don't know what was in his thermos.
I have to say, you're not right, but you're not far from being right.
So it's the thermos guy.
Is it okay to divulge that?
Let me check the text line, because maybe somebody knows.
If you are a detective listening, you're not allowed to play, because that's unfair.
First texter has it, I should have known.
Yeah? Go ahead. Suck. You want to divulge?
No, go ahead. It involves like a Twilight Zone episode, sort of.
If one of the guys had a thermos, and he did, one of the three suspects had a thermos, he put a dagger made of ice, an icicle, inside the thermos so that it wouldn't melt. He stabbed the guy with the icicle.
Genius.
And then the icicle melted and became the puddle of water.
Yeah, this is why I don't read Sherlock Holmes, because...
Oh, I loved Encyclopedia Brown.
It's all so improbable, mm-hmm. and then this, you know...
It's not improbable.
Really? Well, that someone's get stabbed with an ice
this
dagger?
This is going to give someone an idea. Now there will be a
You're
copycat
see
murder
a lot of
in the
icicle
news
murders.
You'll report on.
There will be a lot of icicle murders this weekend now. There's no question about
that. There was like a Twilight Zone, or maybe it was Alfred Hitchcock. I think it was Alfred Hitchcock Presents.
Mm-hmm.
And a woman killed her husband with a leg of lamb, and then she cooked it and ate it, evidence gone.
Oh.
Boom.
That's an interesting way to do somebody
mm-hmm.
in, with a leg of lamb.
Mm-hmm.
So she would just keep hitting him with a leg of lamb? How did she kill him with
a
leg of lamb?
I think she whacked him really hard with it or something.
Did she eat the bone?
No, but then it was smaller.
That's what Wendy, we're
Take
laughing,
it,
but that's a great question.
Finally, Steve Bertrand on the Straight Out of Context.
Yeah, that's a good question. I thought that was a good question, Steve. I'm on your
Wendy,
side.
Really, what are you thinking?
That's a great
You know what I'm
that's
thinking.
That's a very good question. All right, let's do this. We'll take a break, and then I have one more
lamb.
Of these.
I could never do that because I don't like lamb.
This is what... Right.
And you like your
husband a lot.
Oh, yeah,
you should have answered that part first.
That's like the psycho question right there.
Yes. Wow. We just learned a lot about you. A lot.
I'd prefer a standing rib roast if you want to know the truth.
Oh, no. All right, we'll take a break and then more of us, Bill and Wendy, on WGN. All right. Quit it. Mom. I have another word problem, but if two is too many for you, I don't want to overtax anybody.
It is Friday. I'm already in the weekend.
Are you? This one you've heard before, and here's why. A couple of years ago, I want to say 4 or 5 years ago, there was a situation, and it was an unsavory situation. They were trying to determine if somebody was or wasn't dangerous.
Oh.
What they said at the time... Do they have psychotic abilities or tendencies?
Yeah, tendencies.
Right? Tendencies. So, yeah, you would have, I guess, tendencies would be more accurate. All right. So they devised this question, and they asked the person this question, and they got it immediately. And they said, well, this person obviously has issues because your average person doesn't think this way, but this person must be nuts because of this, because they got it without even flinching.
And you're giving
Do you remember
me this
any of this?
Yeah, I don't remember the question. Were there several going around?
No, there was just one. Just the one question. And I have to admit, when I was told the question, I did get it eventually, or I didn't get it head on. I was very, very close to it, and it took me about a half an hour to get that far. But
you're
they said, if
you're a psychotic in the making.
I'm a borderline. Yeah. Yeah. All right. So here is the question. Hands on buzzers, everybody. This is a story about a girl. Doesn't it starts out really good?
Yeah.
It starts out like a song. Like a song from VH1. This is the story of a girl. Right. Drown the whole world, Steve.
Thank you.
She's a psychotic. You don't drown the whole world. All right, here's the story. It's a story about a girl. While at the funeral of her own mother, she met a guy that she did not know. She thought the guy was amazing. So much her dream guy, she believed him to be, that she fell in love with him right then and there. A few days later, that girl killed her own sister. What was her motive for killing her sister?
I do remember this.
Do you remember this?
But I don't remember the answer, which is a very good sign.
It's a very good sign. You could still be psychotic. It just means you have a faulty memory.
Oh, that is totally true. That's me to a T.
Right. Next week on The Forgetful Psychotic.
Oh, tell me people wouldn't watch that?
Everyone would watch that.
There'd be a bunch of spinoffs like all the CSIs.
Right. Right.
With all Who music. I sort of remember this.
When you hear it, it's one of those things, I hate to say it makes sense, because we're talking about...
It does make sense.
It does make sense if your mind isn't quite right.
I think if your mind is super right, you get this right away. There are certain people that can understand a puzzle that doesn't make them psychotic.
No, that's true. No, that's so true. Very, very true.
My brain has been set to weekend mode, so I'm having a corona right now. I don't know.
So if I had asked you this question on Tuesday or Wednesday,
I would have gotten it,
gotten
like
it
that.
By now.
Is there lime in the corona? Is it a corona light?
Hell yeah.
Yep.
Corona light. I like the corona light.
Yep.
I'm not going to lie.
All right. Let me reiterate it one more time for people just joining in. This is a question that we're hearing was used as a test to determine whether or not somebody had psychotic tendencies, because according to legend, if you get this right, like immediately, something isn't quite right with you, because you shouldn't be thinking this way. Here is the story one more time real quick before we divulge the answer. It's a story about a girl. While at the funeral of her own mother, she met a guy that she did not know. She thought the guy was amazing, and so much her dream guy that she believed him to be, she fell in love with that man right then and there. A few days later, the girl killed her own sister. What was her motive for killing her sister? Do you want to take a guess? I'd say take a stab at it, but that was the first question. That was our earlier question.
Well, I don't want to give things away if people are trying to play along, but wasn't it her sister's husband or something?
Mm-mm.
No.
No. Fanny Flagg, we go to you.
I know the answer.
Steve knows it.
Do you know it because, A, you're psychotic, 2, you're smart, or 3, you remember it?
Maybe a combination of the 3.
It was Z, actually. I found it and mailed it to Bill.
Okay, wow. I don't know it. Is this right on line 1? Should we bother taking it?
We can take it, sure.
All right, Bill's on the line. 312-981-7200. Hey, Bill.
Well, this is just mean because you just had the same answer I had, and we already know it's wrong. And I agree with Steve. I hate games. So
they're puzzles more than games.
My Friday's not going as well as yours, Wendy.
Oh.
Have an imaginary corona light.
My guess was brother-in-law because she wanted to get her sister out of the way so he'd be available.
That's the motive.
That seems so obvious, but it is an incorrect guess, Bill. And, Bill, you couldn't be psychotic anyway. Yeah. There's no psychotic people named Bill. It's impossible.
Yeah, no, I think if you look back through the news, you'll find that to be wrong.
There may be
Bill.
A few. All right. Fair enough. Fair
All
enough.
Right. That you was guys not have the... a great day. Enjoy your show. Love you guys. Listen to you every day.
Thank you, Bill.
Sweet.
Appreciate
Thank
it.
You, Bill. Have a good weekend. Ah, I just don't know.
Are you ready for the answer?
Well, if Steve knows it, do you want to let him?
Yeah.
Well, I only know because I looked at. I was talking to Bill about it before, but she kills her sister because she's hoping the guy will come back to her funeral.
Yep. That's the answer. In her mind, this guy shows up at funerals, so...
And must know the family.
Let's have another one.
What if it's just a funeral crasher, which we learned about yesterday on the stream? Remember, mm-hmm. where people... I think the rate was $30 to $120 per funeral,
you could hire somebody.
A professional mourner.
Yes.
Maybe he was that and wouldn't come back.
Okay, but that wouldn't help with the psychotic
right.
question.
Maybe I am the psychotic because I have found a fault in the story.
Thank you for saying maybe. I would have left that word out.
So generous of yourself.
All right, well, see, I love these puzzles.
Steve did not.
I didn't like them in school when you had story problems, a train leaves the station,
right.
you know.
Right.
I didn't like those because...
Where they would tell you how fast one train was going
right.
and the other train and what city they needed to go to. Yeah.
Because that, you have a time limit.
Right.
If I don't have a time limit...
Right.
I
then,
love them.
Then it's fun.
Yep. I love it. Thank you, Steve. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. Ryan Burrow has joined us in the studio right now. Ryan, so we all heard the news this morning that R. Kelly was arrested last night while walking his dog.
Yeah, outside of Trump Tower. Apparently, Homeland Security agents and New York Police Department detectives came up and arrested him, because not only does he face charges here in Chicago, but in New York as well, a five-count superseding indictment. But let's start from the beginning. That arrest happens last night. Apparently, according to Steve Greenberg, R. Kelly's attorney, the arrest was courteous on both sides. There was, you know, everything went smoothly, according to the way the officers handled themselves and the way that R. Kelly handled themselves. We know that there were officers up in his Trump Tower apartment even as late as this morning. We don't know if they are still there looking for any kind of evidence they can. R. Kelly made his first court appearance last night, 13-count federal indictment in Chicago, including child pornography and obstruction of justice charges. Two other R. Kelly employees also indicted for helping him cover up alleged sex tapes that he has out there. 5-count superseding indictment also coming from New York. This is involving racketeering and crossing state lines to engage in illegal sexual activity. By the way, going back to the other employees, one of those employees expected to appear in federal court today. R. Kelly right now is at MCC. That's the federal lockup downtown. That's different from February when he was arrested. He went to county jail then. He's expected to remain there at MCC at least through the weekend, because his bail hearing isn't going to be until Tuesday. And even his attorney admitted that. As far as future court appearances, there is something on the docket for this afternoon. We don't know if he technically needs to be there for that. So he'll likely be sitting behind bars at least through Tuesday. In Atlanta, something weird kind of happened. Publicist Daryl Johnson, he's been out front and center speaking on behalf of R. Kelly and his legal team, held a press conference to talk about these charges, essentially saying what Steve Greenberg has also been saying, that these are old charges. They stem from cases we've already heard about. The 2008 trial where he was acquitted of child pornography. These all relate to that, and this is nothing new, and they were expecting it, and they're looking forward to that accord. But during this press conference, it was Joycelyn Savage's parents that kind of crashed the party and started shouting, "Where's my daughter? Tell me where my daughter is," to this publicist. And the publicist and them went back and forth for a good 4 or 5 minutes saying, "Look, I don't know where your daughter is. I have not seen her. I've only met her about a half dozen times." And also saying, "I feel sympathy for you," referring to the family. And get this, telling them he's got a 21-year-old daughter, and if he was in their situation, he'd want to drive a truck through Trump Tower to get her out. It's not exactly something you'd expect the publicist for R. Kelly's team to be saying, but that being said, he did answer some questions, and then the family also talked about how frustrated they are because they're trying to make communication with Joycelyn, right. who they haven't spoken to since December of 2016.
Horrible.
What time was, you said last night when he appeared in court, what time?
How late
do they run court?
Whenever they need it.
Really?
Yeah.
And I know this is a silly question, but what happened to the dog? If he was walking his dog,
I honestly don't know. I don't know who was back in the apartment. I don't know if the girlfriends were in the apartment. I'm not exactly sure if he was allowed to go back up there. We just know that when police made that first contact with him, and once again, we're talking Homeland Security agents, not CPD, not Cook County, not state police. It was Homeland Security and New York Police detectives. It was outside of Trump Tower.
So there's some debate on whether or not these are old charges or new charges. Regardless of that debate, though, Ryan, what do they have this time? What do the prosecutors have this time that will make this different from the past?
Well, what makes this interesting, first of all, it's a federal case now. Oh. And that's because state lines were crossed, at least according to the New York indictment, that sexual activity happened crossing state lines, which brings up, I believe it's the man violations.
Do you have to transport the person between state lines, or is it just you traveling from state to state?
I think you have to transport the person. Don't quote me on that. But right. What also makes this unique is the fact that two former employees are also charged. And this is in regards to covering up these videos. And in one case, someone was allegedly, according to this indictment, paid $170,000 to basically sell the video to R. Kelly so that it would not be made public. These mm-hmm. are videos related to
that's not enough money if you want to know the truth.
$170,000. But apparently, according to this indictment, that was just one of many attempts that they made to either purchase these tapes or acquire these tapes from people who had them to prevent them from going public.
I've heard people say that there was a time where you could get his sex tapes at record stores. Were those being sold as part of what you would buy at a record store? Or was there a guy in the back selling them?
We've heard that, too, from, I mean, Swaparama. We heard that in Alsip. Yeah. They were talking about them being heavily sold there in the late 90s. And one guy in Pennsylvania said he came across a video which happened to show R. Kelly having sex with an underage girl. You know, and if you ask his attorneys, it's all the same tape. And this has already been litigated, and he was acquitted of all of these charges. But if you ask Michael Avenatti, who's representing some of the alleged victims, he says it's not the same tape. Obviously, the Cook County State's attorney has filed new charges against him with new charges related to this.
Avenatti's still on the case, by the way. Or not.
Let's just say he's making his voice known. Yeah. I don't exactly know how involved he is in any of this. Remember, this is criminal, so it's county prosecutors that are going after him now, federal prosecutors. Right. Avenatti's just an attorney who's representing some of the families and probably civil cases.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised that the incident went smoothly, because R. Kelly knows that there's stuff coming up. I don't think he'd act poorly, you know.
Sure.
It just sounds like... It reminds me of O.J., where all of a sudden he was arrested for stealing his stuff back, but then you can't forget about the other stuff.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting, because one of the things that the federal prosecutors brought up in that first court appearance was they did consider him a flight risk. They did consider him someone who, if he was let go and free, could potentially obstruct justice, essentially maybe meeting with people who may be involved in this case in one form or another.
His plan, as I'm sure you'll remember, was to go to other countries and tour with his music and make money.
To make money, yeah, because he couldn't do it here in the States.
But it seemed... very, very dangerous to give this guy carte blanche to just fly from country to country, even though he promised he'd come back.
Well, and a lot of that, too, not only does he have to pay his legal bills, but he's got those child support payments.
Yeah,
and
right.
He says ever since all these charges came up against him, he hasn't been able to book shows, he hasn't been able to make music.
But isn't that crazy that he would then paint himself, or his attorneys would paint him as he's the victim in this? He just wants to make money to pay things off, and you're not letting him.
That's the attorney's job.
That's their job, exactly.
Which I don't understand either.
Yeah.
You know, do they really believe them? I don't even understand that. And I don't understand why R. Kelly was out walking his dog by himself, because I get the feeling that he's been looking over his shoulder for a while. It's like the shoe's going to drop somewhere, and it sounds like it has.
But they could have got him in. I mean, they waited for him to come out, but they didn't have to. They could have gone. They know where he was.
I mean, he's been going through legal issues for years and years now. So
and
I
maintained think there's always his innocence that, throughout.
Exactly. And, right. You know, I mean, I guess at some point you got to live your life and not just be in hiding.
Yeah.
You know?
I guess. How about do the right thing in your life and then you don't have to worry about it at all?
It's good.
You're on board
advice.
With that, Ryan.
Yes.
That's a good
there
advice.
There you go.
Right.
Well, thank you for the update. He's going to be in jail for a long time, or in custody.
At least until Tuesday when that bail hearing happens.
All right. Very
and where
good.
Is he getting the money for, I guess?
Well, we don't know, because he struggled.
Maybe.
Well, remember, he struggled last time. So.
And a fan came through and bailed him out?
Yeah, but remember, too, the second time around, they said because he had posted bail in the first round of charges, they didn't give him a second. They didn't give him a second bail. Now, this is federal, so this is different. Maybe a whole different set of circumstances, but we'll see.
Ryan Burrow, he, of course, does news here at WGN Radio and also ABC News. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Ryan. Brenda, you know the answer to this.
Wonderful things he does.
That's why. That's why.
God, I love The Wizard of Oz, don't you?
It's magical.
It pretty much is.
It's magical. They're doing a production of it here in town, and we have tickets to give away.
Let me tell people what we have. We have not just a ticket, not two. This is a family four-pack of tickets to see The Wizard of Oz at Chicago Shakespeare Theater on Navy Pier, based on that classic MGM film that we all know and love. This magical 75-minute musical is sure to delight the whole family. After the show, you can meet the cast for autographs and photos. Wow. It's playing now through August 25th. You can get tickets at ChicagoShakes.com, or you can try and win them with a Wizard of Oz trivia question that Bill has put together.
I'm going to tell you right off the bat, my question does not involve the flying monkeys that are in The Wizard of Oz, but has there ever been a scarier creature in any movie than the flying monkeys in The Wizard of Oz?
They're pretty scary.
They're very scary. And what's with those soldiers at her castle, too? Those OEO guys. Right. What's with those guys?
Don't they say something and we... darn it.
They say something about Oleo. Because there's a scene where the witch makes them English muffins and she doesn't put any butter on them and they wanted Oleo. Remember that scene?
No, but the only reason I know the word Oleo is from crossword puzzles.
Yeah, right. Butter substitute.
Yes.
Four letters. Oleo. All right. I have a trivia question now. In the past, I've asked these questions and people get very upset. Your question is way too hard. I've made today's question on a scale of 1 to 10 about a 5. I want you to get this, especially if you're a big Wizard of Oz fan. So my question is about a 5 on a scale of 1 to 10. And do you have the Oleo song?
I think so.
All right.
Stand by.
What's that? What's that?
It's the castle of the Wicked Witch.
I love the way he says that.
Place?
Oh, I hate the thing of her in there. We've got to get her out.
Don't cry now. We haven't got the oil can with us, and you've been squeaking enough as it is.
Who's that?
Here they come.
I'm scared. Oh, we owe Eola?
All we owe some, or something like that.
I've got a plan how to get in there.
I've seen the movie 1,000 times, and I know
it. That should be your trivia question.
That should be.
Isn't it All We Are, We Owe Her?
All We Are, We Owe Her.
Oh, we.
I gotta get around there.
That's right.
That's a good one, Steve. It could be that.
All right. I'll go in there for Dorothy. Wicked witch, oh no, wicked witch.
Courage.
Courage.
Courage, Wendy. All right, I have a trivia question, Wizard of Oz trivia question, and it goes something like this. Jack Haley, of course, played the Tin Woodsman. He was fantastic as the Tin Man. But he wasn't the original actor slated to play that role. Another actor had the role but had to turn it down because he was allergic to the makeup. Who was that actor?
I remember the story, but I don't remember the actor.
312-981-7200. Steve, call in.
Okay, what's
the number? Tickets.
Give me the number again.
312-981-7200. Steve, calling in. Try to beat Steve.
Family four-pack of tickets.
This question, by the way, when my daughters were very, very young, like 2, the copy that we had of The Wizard of Oz had a track. They called it the director's track, but the director, Fleming, had long been gone. So they had other guys telling little fun trivia things about The Wizard of Oz, and one of them was this exact question. And when my daughters were 2, they knew this. They didn't know who the actor was in real life, but they knew his name just from that track. And they would ask all their friends that question, their other 2-year-old friends.
I bet you couldn't have been more proud.
Right. I'd see them stump these little 2-year-old kids. What are you talking about? What other actor? The Tin Woodsman? What?
I forget it's the Tin Woodsman. I mean, we all know it as the Tin Man.
Yeah, no one says Woodsman.
Step forward, Tin Man. That's like the scariest thing in the world when he yells that.
You're like a Wizard of Oz snob.
Thank you. Thank
the Tin Woodsman was supposed to be
the
played.
The Tin Woodsman.
We have a guest that is coming from, is this Marie? Hi, Marie.
It's Marge.
Oh, hi, Marge.
Hi, Wendy. How are you?
We're good.
Marge, I'll ask the question again. See how you do. The original role of the Tin Woodsman, or Tin Man, as the kids like to call him, was Jack Haley played him. But what actor was supposed to play him and couldn't because he was allergic to the makeup?
Buddy Epstein.
Buddy Epstein. Wendy, you tell me.
No, you're on your own with this.
No, I wash my hands of this. The guest, Marge's guest was Buddy Epstein from Welcome Back, Kotter.
And Mrs. Tin Man Epstein's mother.
Yes.
I don't know. Is this the right answer? The first part of it?
Marge, you got the first part right. The second part, you're just off a little bit. Do you want to give it? You want to rephrase it a little bit? It's not Buddy Epstein.
Oh. Buddy.
You can do this. You can do this. I believe in you.
Buddy.
You can do this.
All right, here's a clue. Was his name on Green Acres? There was a person who helped out, like a ranch hand. What was
That's
his name?
That's the first part, yeah.
Do you remember it?
I think you're confusing, Marge.
Let me just say, you don't put this in water and soak your feet as close.
Yes.
Steve to the rescue. Does that help, Marge?
No.
Oh.
All right, All right, she got Eb.
You know what? I can see his face. I can't remember the last name.
What show has he been on?
Marge, so far you've won tickets, but you can only stay for the first act. We have to ask you to let you and your family must leave during intermission.
I love it.
Can I give her an over the top?
Yes, go ahead,
yes.
Steve.
Do we know his Grampy or his Grammy?
Oh.
Granny, I should say.
That's interesting. That's a very good question.
What was the medical show, too?
The medical show
that he was on.
Oh! No, he was a detective.
Oh, I didn't know. Well, what was that? Maybe that will help.
I don't know if she'll get
No.
All right. I'm sorry, Marjorie.
All right.
I'm gonna leave it up to you.
I'm sorry. I really did think that's what his name was.
You're so close.
Don't hang up because this is... Come on.
She got it.
She did, but yeah. I just want you to play along a little bit. Let's play charades and have her get it for reals.
All right, go ahead.
All right, so the first...
Buddy Epson.
Yes! Oh, Epson.
It came to me.
Did somebody help a little?
No, I...
You got
no,
it?
Not really, but...
All right.
No. It came to me.
Oh, see, we had to give it to Marge. I knew she was right around the corner.
Wendy, I just Googled
it. Yes, I was.
Marge, it turns out you were right. Buddy Epstein did play the Tin Woodsman in the all Yiddish production of The Wizard of Oz. So you were correct.
All right.
All Yiddish. Yeah. Good one, Bill.
Marge, you are going to see The Wizard of Oz. It's at Chicago Shakespeare Theater on Navy Pier. You have a family 4-pack of tickets, and I'm telling you, you worked for it.
Oh, boy, yes.
Thank you. Yes, I did. You guys are good, though. You're really good.
Thank you.
I love your show.
Thank you. We're glad you won.
Hang on. She loves our show because I'm nicer than you are. Usually, I'm not the nice one.
Well, if we would have given it to her based on Buddy Epstein, there would have been a lot of angry people. Right?
I was doing the math.
She did know. She was just off a little bit.
You can do a meet and greet with the cast for autographs and photos afterwards. The Wizard of Oz at Chicago Shakespeare Theater on Navy Pier is playing now through August 25th. Get tickets at chicagoshakes.com.
Tell them Buddy Epstein sent you.
She was right there.
I know. My first thought, though, wasn't there something with was it Alan Hale who played the skipper?
He was in Wizard of Oz?
He was supposed to be the lion because he looks like him, doesn't he?
For some reason, he came to me first with it, and I don't know why.
He would have been way too young. Maybe his father was also an actor, Alan Young Sr., or Alan Hale Sr., I mean. Maybe him. What's wrong?
No.
You just said, uh-oh, and then you stopped.
No, because
I... uh-oh, and then you stopped talking and breathing. That was bad.
Just trying to think, would he have been too young? I guess
Alan Hale Jr., the skipper, would have been too young.
And so what's the story? Buddy Epson tried on the makeup and...
He couldn't breathe. There was some metallic compound in the makeup and he couldn't breathe. And that's bad. You want to, if you're making a movie, you want to breathe.
He would have been pretty good. He could.
It's funny because we know him from Barnaby Jones and we know him from the Beverly Hillbillies, but he was an amazing song and dance man.
He was?
More than capable. Yeah, really, really good.
I didn't know he was a song and dance man.
Hardly ever came up on Barnaby Jones. There were very few cases where he went, I bet a song will solve this one.
I'm sorry I didn't know that it I thought it was a medical show or something.
Barnaby Jones?
He was a detective.
He was a detective. Yeah.
Was Buddy Epson the original Wizard of Oz Tin Man?
Yes.
True. Buddy Ebsen was slated to play. I was just checking Snopes.com because
just to be safe.
I don't know why I sort of believed Steve Bertrand. I feel like I need to be nice to him.
Oh.
Buddy Ebsen was slated to play the Tin Man. A Tin Woodman.
Yeah.
In the 1939 film version, but he had to be replaced after the aluminum makeup used in the costume made him gravely ill.
Yes.
Oh, man. All right. Well, that's good to know. Marge, have a good time. We're going to take a break, and we're going to talk television with Alexander Zalbin from Decider.com. It's all happening right here, 720 WGN.
Steve, thanks. It's Bill and Wendy.
I made you wait till the music kicked in.
That's right. The timing had to be exactly perfect. Alexander Zalbin is here, but can I just quickly address a text or two? We were just talking about The Wizard of Oz and the scene where the soldiers are marching and they're chanting something and we're
Oleo,
trying to figure out.
Oleo, yeah. Or whatever.
The guesses are all over the board. Everybody has a different version of what those soldiers in The Wizard of Oz are chanting. Here's my favorite one from 630. The soldiers are singing about their favorite product placement, Oreo. Oreo. I'm not positive that's right, but it makes some sense. Also, so many guesses for Buddy Ebsen, but one guess for Buddy Hackett, the original
he would have been the Tin Man. But
right.
The makeup bugged
that would have
him.
Been fun. Yeah, he was allergic to the makeup. Alexander Zalbin is here. He's the managing editor of Decider.com. He comes on with us on Friday, and we talk about show business and television. Nice to talk to you, Alexander. How are things? Everything good?
Everything's doing great. Very excited to hear all these guesses about The Wizard of Oz. I thought it was Oreo.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just into it.
It makes sense. Wendy and I were discussing this yesterday, but I would love your take on it. We both watched Aziz Ansari's special that's on Netflix called Aziz Ansari Right Now. We both applauded him for how honest he was during that special. It's a great stand-up special, but he also has some moments of just sheer honesty where he talks about his sexual scandal. Have you seen it already?
I haven't, but a couple of the folks in our office have, so we've been talking about it a little bit. And one of the great things about it was that he was very upfront right at the beginning about everything that went on. And honesty has always been his thing. Like, you know, that's certainly a stand-up thing in general, but certainly Aziz very liberally pulls from his own life and talks about his own life. If anything, he talks about it upfront, and then it seems like the reaction, his feelings on that gets woven through absolutely everything else that happens in the special as well.
To me, it was one of the most amazing stand-up specials I've seen because it was super funny in parts, but it was so raw that I mean, about seeing your parents and being a better person and thinking things through. It was very thought-provoking for me.
Mm. Yeah, listen, there's a reason people like Master of None so much. There's a reason people like to stand up so much. He's a smart guy with some funny things to say. And whatever you think about what happened with that Babe.net article, that's not going to change.
Was there any outcome to that? Because I know it was a he said, she said kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And he said he personally discussed it with her and didn't really apologize, but almost said, you know, I'm kind of sorry this happened or sorry she felt that way. There was something brought up, but no real genuine I'm sorry. What was the outcome? Do you remember?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right about that. There's nothing really been publicly said about that necessarily, and it was such a weird situation, like we talked about last week, not to slander Babe Not Dead, RIP, that site isn't around anymore, but they didn't research it or back it up very well. It was very weirdly sourced from one person, and it created a huge uproar, but it was very murky in terms of what actually happened behind the scenes. So it's not the sort of thing that's going to end up in a court case or some sort of arrests like a lot of other things that have been going on. It's something that will be resolved or not behind the scenes.
I always wonder in a situation like this where you've got a guy who's in the news for something that's very, very unsavory. Does Netflix sit down with him and say, we're going to give you this special, but you got to address it because people are going to tune in and expect you to address it? Because Louis C.K., one of the criticisms on him when he went back to doing stand-up was there was no mention of his scandal whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
And that's also a guy who dealt in not just comedy but reality.
I don't know. I don't think Netflix actually gets too much into that because their general MO is being as hands off with creators as possible,
yeah.
almost to a fault sometimes, frankly. But my guess is because this is directed by Spike Jonze, it was probably generated more from Aziz Ansari and Spike Jonze. Aziz Ansari has been touring for the entire year between this and putting together this show. So I'm sure once they had that package, they sat down with Netflix. I wouldn't be surprised if it came up at a meeting saying, are you going to address this in the special? And they said, yeah, absolutely. That's part of the act. And that was the end of the conversation.
When you see this, Alex, it's really interesting because he comes out and he talks about it pretty much immediately. He does some inside joke mm-hmm. about what's going on there in the room with the taping of the special. But then he talks about it kind of right out of the box. And it's not funny. It's not meant to be funny. He's very, very honest and truthful about it. And I did stand up for 10 years. I was thinking to myself, that's a very tough hole to dig yourself out of. It needed to be addressed. It was just mm-hmm. very interesting that right front and center, he talked about it and then rebounds and does the rest of the special. But it does, as Wendy pointed out, it's constantly brought back in the fact that it changed his perspective on a lot of things.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I really
yeah,
loved
and
it.
I think it's, I mean, you're right about the digging out the whole thing, but imagine if he hadn't addressed it up front. That would have been the elephant in the room the entire time, and every single thing he did up until he addressed it would have been colored by that. So putting it up front, putting it right there, absolutely the right
thing.
No
question. Alexander Zelbin's our guest from Decider.com. We'll talk about some television shows that are premiering very, very soon. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Bill Leffin, it's Wendy Snyder. Our guest is Alexander Zelbin, who comes on with us every Friday, and we talk about show business, and we talk about television. Visit his website, Decider.com. It's a really, really good one. We've gotten more than one call, Alex, from people who say, I'm not exactly sure what this Netflix is that you guys are talking about. Now, usually I would make fun, but I have to be honest, I myself am behind the times in a lot of things, so it's very possible that nobody knows or somebody doesn't know what Netflix is. It's a service, it's a streaming service by which you can watch movies and TV shows. Am I leaving anything out?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's about it.
No. That's it. It's a monthly subscription service. There's a ridiculous amount of content on there. It's a mix of original shows and legacy shows. They have sitcoms. They have movies. Everything you could watch for the rest of your life is all on Netflix.
Somebody just said the other day, I don't remember who told me this, that Netflix will be showing more new movies this upcoming year, 2019 into 2020, than the three top movie companies combined.
That was at our staff meeting
they
again.
They were talking about it at our staff meeting.
And because I think, yeah. Was it called like Flix.com where you could do mail order and then they changed it to Netflix because you could stream things on the internet?
Yeah.
So that's the history of Netflix.
Yep. Here's another text.
What is the amount of content they're putting out. Sorry, go ahead.
And it's good.
This is a text. What is Coca-Cola? They
want to
know what that is. All right.
That's also a streaming service.
Coca-Cola streaming service. All right. Here's a bunch of shows. You tell us, because these are all new to us, Cities of Last Things. What are Cities of Last Things?
I keep making that mistake as well. I keep wanting to call it Cities of Lost Things. It's a movie that debuted on Netflix, not Coca-Cola, yesterday, July 11th. It's a film from, I believe, China. And the weird thing about it is it's told in three parts in three different genres, and it goes backwards in time. So it's in Mandarin, so already, you know, a stumbling block for a lot of people. But then you got all this weirdness going on. However, our reviewer, Adamenta, who checked it out, really liked it a lot, thought it was really fascinating. It's the sort of thing you're definitely going to want to put your phone down for and really concentrate on.
Yeah.
But it's very different, very interesting, and that's on Netflix now if you want to check out something that takes a little more brain power than the usual film.
I've seen a device by which they'll show a storyline from different characters' perspectives, but I've never seen a show mm-hmm. done in three genres before. That's very interesting to me.
Yeah, it should be. I haven't had a chance to check it out myself, but it sounds very fascinating, and also it's not a whole series on Netflix stuff, so you can check it out in a reasonable amount of time.
Cities of Last Things. All right, now let's switch over to Point Blank, also on Netflix. What's Point Blank?
So this is not Point Break. This is not Gross Point Blank. It's not even the original Point Blank movie that came out a couple of decades ago. This is a new action thriller also on Netflix as of today. It stars Anthony Mackie and Frank Grillo, so it's sort of a Marvel movies reunion. They played Falcon and Crossbones, respectively. It's a very silly, very dumb action thriller. It's pretty much nonstop car chases and gunshots from top to finish. So it's basically the opposite of Cities of Last Things. Mm-hmm. But if you are looking for a dumb action thriller to turn your brain off to tonight, this is well worth checking out.
David Harbour, who we know from Stranger Things and from Hellboy, he was the last guy to play Hellboy, has a new project called Frankenstein's Monster's Monster.
Will he be topless again in it, or in a towel like he was in Stranger Things?
I don't know.
He's not topless in this. This is one of the weirder things I've ever seen on Netflix, but given it's a half an hour, it's absolutely worth checking out. It's coming out on Tuesday on the service. And it's kind of a mockumentary about David Harbour investigating an old stage show played by his father put on, though he's playing his own father in this case, called Frankenstein's Monster's Monster Frankenstein. And it's very weird. It's a mix of, like, quote-unquote documentary footage. It's kind of making fun of Orson Welles a little bit, I think. But particularly if you're a fan of him from Stranger Things, it's him being ridiculous and over the top, and it's, again, a very easy, very quick binge. I highly recommend it.
I absolutely love him. There's something very good, appealing about him, even topless. All right, I'll give it to you. He reminds me of Jeff Garland's younger brother. Oh. He has a very similar look.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep. I love him.
Interesting to watch.
The special is basically just a showcase for him, and that's it, and that's fine.
The Emmy nominations will be announced on Tuesday, right? Is that right? Tuesday?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What can we expect?
Yeah, they're going to be Tuesday, 11:30 ET. So you can check them out. They'll be live streaming, I believe, on the Emmys website, YouTube, probably Twitter as well. So you can check them out there. This is going to be a very interesting year because a lot of shows are ending. Certainly you can expect Veep is probably going to clean up in terms of the nominations. But the big question in my mind going into this, and I think a lot of critics, is what's going to happen with Game of Thrones? Because if you had asked us at the beginning of the year, we'd say, well, of course, the last season of Game of Thrones, that's going to dominate absolutely everything. But the last 3 weeks of Game of Thrones in particular had very mixed negative reaction, both from fans and critics. So the question is going to be, how is that going to influence the Emmy voters? Are we going to see Game of Thrones end up getting snubbed in a lot of categories? Is it still going to get over-nominated in a lot of categories? And how will that affect all the glut of TV that's been on over the past year?
Big Bang Theory also closing out their mm-hmm. long run, so you would think they would get some nods. Is that a traditional thing? If a show has been on the air for a while and then they're closing up shop, they usually get a couple extra nominations, mm-hmm. would you say?
Yeah, you see something like that. I mean, listen, the Emmys have been in a state of flux for the past couple of years as they've been trying to respond to the changing state of TV. So anything is up in the air. But traditionally speaking, when you're talking about a sitcom that has been on the air as long and gotten as many viewers as Big Bang Theory, you would expect it to get a couple, I was about to say pity nominations. I think that's a little too rude, but nominations where, yes, this is, we're giving a tribute because it ended this run regardless of whether it's going to win or not. So I wouldn't be surprised to see it turn up in a few categories.
Alex, one more thing. We only have a minute, but this is a big deal when it comes to show business. The biggest comic book convention in the country, that's Comic-Con in San Diego, is happening this week. Usually there's a couple of big announcements made. Isn't that usually standard fare for them?
Yeah, this is going to be kicking off Wednesday, July 17th and running through that Sunday, so I expect we'll probably be talking about this quite a bit next week. But the big thing that's happening is Friday night down in San Diego is the Marvel Studios panel, where they're finally going to be announcing what their upcoming slate of movies is. And that's crazy when you think about it, because we've known for years what is going to be happening in the Marvel superhero movies. We know nothing at this point officially beyond the Spider-Man movie that's currently in theaters. So there's a lot of anticipation for that. And otherwise, TV is taking over the con. It's really flipped from film to TV. So if you have a favorite TV show, even a favorite non-nerdy TV show, there's a lot of procedurals and other things that are heading there. Tons of news is going to be coming out over the next week.
Are you attending, or somebody from your organization?
Decider.com.
We're not going to be on the ground there, yeah. but we are going to have actually a ton of coverage going on because, you know, when you're in entertainment journalism, you get a heads up about a bunch of things
right.
or prep for things. So yeah. certainly if you are looking for San Diego news, you can check Decider.com throughout that week.
That's Alexander Zalbin. He's the managing editor of Decider.com. That's a coincidence. Thanks, Alexander. We appreciate it. Have a good week.
Yeah, you guys too. Thanks so much.
It's Bill Leff, it's Wendy Snyder, and I was on Facebook, as I like to tool around and look at things. And Bill, do you remember Eric Nivarowski?
Of course.
I'm pretty sure that's how you say
it. He was the videographer of our station for a couple of years.
Right, and so we were friends with him in real life, and we are on Facebook. And he posted something the other day, and it says, if you only watch one or two more videos on Facebook today, it'd mean a lot if this could be one of them. He edited it, and he's proud of it for so many reasons. And he goes on to say, my friend Rebecca is just one of the best people I've ever met, and her story is one that everyone should watch. I watched it, and now I feel we should all meet Rebecca Green. So she is on the line with us.
Hey,
how
Rebecca.
Are you?
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. We know Eric. I watched the video, and I was touched. I loved it, and I wanted to meet you. And it's a story I feel we should all hear. So, Rebecca, you're a journalist and digital producer at Fox 13 in Salt Lake City. And tell us about the video and your story. I don't know where to begin, and I don't want to say anything uncomfortable. That's all I'm saying. Because I think a lot of times people don't know about things, and they're unaccepting of it. And I'm hoping you're here today to explain a few things. You're transgender, is that correct?
Yeah, so I'm trans. And, you know, I think what you say is really important. I actually had a conversation with a coworker just yesterday who was just telling me that he was raised to believe a lot of things about trans people. And just by virtue of, like, knowing with me and working with me, it kind of gives him the ability to, instead of have this sort of fear of the unknown, go, oh, that's Becca. That's who we're talking about. So instead of it being this hot button political football that everybody fights about, you're talking about a real person with a face and a voice and an experience that you can relate to. And that's really the goal with the video. So I went full-time in January of this year, and they asked me, goodness, a month or two after that, if I would do this. And I was obviously a little nervous, but I've had so many people do some variation of that conversation I just told you about that I just feel like if more people had a chance to put a name and a face on that topic, they feel differently about it than they do.
And that's what I gleaned from the video. I want to hang with you. I want to be pals with you. You're just like you and me. We're all the same. Is that not true?
Yeah, and I think that's hopefully the biggest takeaway. You know, my older brother, he's gay. And I remember him saying something to me once after my boyfriend and I had dinner with a religious family. He said, you know, if our parents would have had a queer couple over when we were kids and treated them like anyone else, that would have changed my whole life. And, you know, I think it's so important for people in general, and especially kids, to know that, like, when you have these feelings, when you have these questions about your identity, you're not alone. There are a lot of people like you, and many of them are living, you know, quote unquote, normal lives. It's something that's a challenge, but it's not something that is a period to your life. It's just a comma. You have so much more to do beyond that.
Rebecca, something you said just really rang true for me. I always hear people say, hey, I don't care about a person's sexuality. Why do they keep bringing it up? Why do they keep making that an issue? But what you just said makes sense in that if you're a kid, you're growing up and you're a little disenfranchised and you're not sure what's what, you need people who are role models in every walk of life to say you can live a very full, complete, and normal life. You know, you're not hiding anything anymore. That's a big step we've taken as a society, isn't it?
Absolutely. I did not hear the word transgender until I was 17 or 18. And so for me, I had all these feelings that have been, you know, present for most of my life. But the only sort of anything I had to pin on that was, you know, like Dr. Frankenfurter, from Rocky Horror Picture Show, or like murder victims on SVU, or, you know, various things like that. And so, like, just to be able to hear, there's someone like you, it's okay. That can actually not only change lives, it can absolutely save lives and prevent people from ending up in just, you know, as I talked about in the video, I engaged in a lot of self-harming behavior. I attempted to kill myself several times. I was addicted to heroin. Like, I'm very lucky to be alive. And the reason I'm alive is because of, like, affirming, supportive people and an affirming and supportive workplace. And the more we can make that sort of affirmation and that sort of opportunity available to trans folks, the more we can prevent the kind of pain that I went through.
Can you give an explanation simply to people who may be listening that, like, what does transgender mean? In your words, explain to someone so we can all understand and not be unaware anymore.
Yeah, so trans is like a, I'm not a linguist, but trans is like a Latin prefix that just means on the opposite side of, on the opposite side. And so when people, when trans folks, so being trans, I was assigned male at birth. So I was raised as a male. Everybody thought I was a boy. That's how my body presented itself. But internally, I've always known that I'm a girl. And so that's basically what it means to be transgender, is when your, what you're assigned gender at birth does not match your gender identity.
It's like you're out of sync, kind of.
Very much so. It's one of those things that it's like when you, and I think not just trans folks, but I think a lot of people can relate to this experience. You know, people with long-term disabilities or, you know, diseases or, you know, various things. When you deal with a burden for so long, you kind of forget how heavy it is. And, it, you know, it's no longer a disaster. It's just Tuesday. And you just, you internalize that and you take it on, and it, it drags you down and it weighs you down. But you don't quite realize how much it's affecting you. And like, I'll tell you, when I went full time, like, it was astonishing. Like, I mean, I knew how much I hated certain parts of my life, but I didn't realize how much that colored, like, just every second of my day.
Yeah. So, Rebecca, you as mentioned, you were born as a male, but felt that you were truly a woman.
Assigned male at birth.
Assigned a male at birth. So then at some point you say to yourself, how far exactly do I take this? Do I have medical procedures done to switch sexes? What age were you when that decision was made or even thought about?
You know, so I don't generally like answering questions about, like, medical procedures. I mean, outside of the trans experience, I don't think folks are likely to ask other people about their genitals, which is what that amounts to. So, like, I know where that comes from. People don't understand it. I don't begrudge you asking that, but that's not something I want to answer. As far as, like, when did I know that, like, I needed to transition and match my outward appearance to how I felt?
Yeah.
You know, because of the way I was raised, that's something that I buried very deeply for a long time. But in my late 20s, I started to interact with more trans folks online. And I was seeing so many stories of people coming out as trans, you know, 15 years into a marriage or 10 years into a 20-year military deployment, or when they're like a wildland firefighter, they had done, like, just thrown themselves into masculine pursuits to try to change.
Right.
And they couldn't change. And for me, I was like, I had done that purge and re-engage and purge and re-engage several times. And so to see people 20 years down the road having that same experience, I just started to realize I can't do that.
Yeah.
But even then, it still took me, I want to say, 6 years before I was able to get in a place where I felt comfortable finding a doctor and starting hormone replacement therapy, which is the major thing in changing your outward appearance.
I just want you to know, if any of the questions that I ask or Wendy asks are uncomfortable in any way, by all means, don't answer them. I only ask for one reason. There's a debate going on with kids, with younger kids, where people are saying, at what age do we let them make that decision? Because, as you know, we all go through different things as your life progresses, and they're trying to determine exactly when you should be able to make that decision. You understand that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And okay. So to answer that question, like, I'm not a pediatrician, and so I think, first of all, like, parents and doctors should be the ones having the most, you know, most voice in that conversation. But aside from that, I think that's something that gets really misunderstood. There's a lot of bad faith actors out there who will be like, oh, you're, you know, mutilating 12-year-olds, you're pumping all these drugs into them. Generally, when you're talking about a young person who's transitioning, they're not starting hormones. They're taking what are called blockers. And what blockers do is they sort of prevent puberty from happening. So instead of starting down that path toward the secondary female sexual characteristics or secondary male sexual characteristics, you just sort of hit pause. And that gives teens time, or kids time, to decide what they want to do. And if, you know, because while I believe that, like, the only choice I had was between transition and killing myself, you know, I recognize that a lot of people don't have the privilege and the safety that I have, and that's, it's not as clear-cut an option for them. So, like, with kids, I think they should be allowed to, like I said, be put on blockers and to delay that decision until they're old enough, you know, under the eyes of the law, to determine themselves as an adult. I know for me, if I could go back and undo what testosterone did to my body during puberty, that would be a miracle. I sometimes get a little bit emotional when I talk to young trans folks who are able to get on blockers or start living as themselves at a much younger life because, you know, as I said, I went through a lot of pain because of not being allowed to be who I am. That's a very long answer to your question.
Sure.
Rebecca Green is on the line with us. And quite honestly, the main reason we wanted to have you on, and we're getting texts, obviously, on both sides. Live your life as you want, but don't shove it down our throats. That irritates me. And then you have someone, thank you, thank you, thank you for doing this interview. I'm the mom of a transgender male, and I tell anyone I meet about it. I also agree that if a person wants meet someone who is transgender or who loves someone who's transgender, it will be harder for them to be afraid or hate them. So, Rebecca, honestly, I want you on the air today because if there are parents out there that have kids that do want to transition, you have to, you can't close your eyes to things or your kids will never talk to you. Your parents were probably, how did they react to your news?
That's a little bit of a so I think the main thing with that is when I was a kid, the internet didn't exist, or at least not in the same form that it did today. The medical guidance, the psychological guidance, the understanding we have now versus what we had then were incredibly different.
You know,
my family's very religious. We've come a long way, and that's for the best. But like, so for me, like, I didn't even have words to describe what I was feeling. Like I said, I didn't hear the word transgender until I was a teenager. I think when I was young, a lot of like my feminine gender presentation was, you know, misconstrued as like cross-dressing or, there's a lot of people who associate trans identities with like various fetishes or, you know, they'll toss around words like, you know, perversion. Their goal was always for me to be happy, but for them, me being happy involved serving a mission for my church and then getting married in a temple to a woman. And like, even though, like I said, we weren't really able to talk about it because we didn't have the words. I mean, that's the message that I got every Sunday, every week. You know, Utah is very densely religious. Most people here are Latter-day Saints. And so like, it just marinates in the entire community and it surrounds every part of your life. You know, when I tried to talk to it about religious leaders, it was treated with, this is something that's wrong with you, something that we can fix, and that'll allow you to be happy. And when you're a kid, you tend to trust adults. And so I tried very, very hard to follow that path and to shut down that side of myself.
Your video is inspiring. If there are any people out there who may have questions about themselves, we will share the link on our Facebook page if that's cool with you.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I didn't do all of that crying to hide the video away. So it was painful. It cost me a lot of pain to get where I am, and nothing can undo that. But the greatest gift anyone could ever give me is to contribute to a world where kids don't have to go through what I went through. And if I can flatter myself in believing that this video works toward that, I mean, I want if you think it would be helpful to people, I'd be happy for you to share it.
We're all told to be our true selves, and we all need to be our true selves, and I think you're helping a lot of people. We just wanted to meet you, Rebecca. You've been at Fox 13 in Salt Lake City, and when you transitioned, you still had your job, so that's something I think people are afraid about, too. Your job has been so supportive.
Incredibly supportive. So, like, when I told him about it, their immediate reaction was, okay, when do you want to come out? How do we make that happen? I reached out to the head of our company, Steve Barron, and he put me in contact with Amy Chow, who's, am I allowed to swear?
No. I'll let you go really quickly if that happens. I know I told you to be your true self, but not that true.
Word. Okay, so she's a warrior, and I'll leave it at that. And right. She took so many things off of my plate. She helped me figure out the transition on social media, navigating it online. Like, I'm not, like, famous by any means, but, like, as a journalist, you're in the public sphere. We knew it would be impossible to, like, magic me into transition without anyone noticing. So there was just a lot of ducks to line up and a lot of things to figure out. And I really didn't have to do much of that because they just took so much of it off my plate. Before I came out here at work, at my request, they sent a letter to all the employees that was like, we're, you know, proud to welcome Rebecca. She's a girl. Her pronouns are she and her. She uses the women's restroom. Like, she's part of our team. And that's the way it is. And that is so, I hear stories all the time about trans folks who lose their jobs or are pressured out of their jobs after transition. And, you know, a lot of trans people end up homeless or on the street. Yep. Or in sex work or in various things. And people look at that and they go, what's wrong with trans people? Well, to me, it's, you know, if people aren't allowed to have jobs or homes or be, you know, fully participate in society, that to me is probably a greater contributor to some of the distress and dysfunction that they experience.
Continued happiness, continued success. You can find Rebecca Green on Facebook and Twitter at Word of Green, no E at the end. Such a pleasure to meet you, and we'll share your link, and you've done a great job. I'm sure you helped a lot of people out there.
Wonderful.
Thanks, Rebecca. Have a good weekend.
You too. Thanks, guys.
Thank you so much.
Rebecca Green. And again, Wendy, if people want to see the video, what's the best way?
She is on Facebook and Twitter at Word of Green. And you know what? If you don't understand it, maybe you should just watch the video and then see, maybe you will understand it after that. Again, Rebecca Green was our guest. She's a journalist, digital producer with Fox 13 in Salt Lake City. And we're going to share her video that our friend Eric Nivarowski, which I probably screwed up his name.
No, you got it right, Eric. That's how you say it.
He did some editing on it, and Rebecca is a friend of his. And I just watched it, and I got to tell you, I'm sometimes awkward with questions because I don't understand things, too.
Yeah.
There are a lot of really supportive texts where parents are saying they have trans kids.
Sure.
There are people that are saying, I'm switching the station.
Yeah.
You know what? If you're alone and no one's looking over your shoulder, watch this video and maybe you'll learn something. I just feel like we're afraid of things we don't know.
So true. Very, very true.